one of the presuppositions of Ericksonian hypnosis, at least, is that trance is a naturally occurring process. You've hinted at that in a variety of ways. And so it becomes a whole lot easier when you stop thinking of it as a big deal, but rather a chance to talk. You know, we can have this conversation here, and I can just as easily drift off into trance at the same time, and engage with you and be really focused in, because hypnosis is a state of concentrated, focused attention. The best definition that there is just that: those moments when you've been transfixed by something or engaged in some idea so thoroughly that 7 ± 2 bits of information that we get to operate with is really honed in somewhere. And eliminating everything else, that's trance. And we're in it all the time. But people come to me expecting something different. I get a joke out of this because I think most hypnotic clients show up expecting an exorcism. You know, really, they say, I've got this thing, this condition, and it's attached to me. Somehow I've got this monkey on my back, whatever it is. It's nicotine or weight or whatever it is that's got a hold of me. And I don't seem to have any control of it. Well, that sounds like a definition of those sort of stereotypes about hypnosis. Mm. You know, the cigarettes are your hypnotist. You know, and some people have the experience of like waking up in the middle of the night because they're lying in bed, they're almost asleep, but they begin to hear the refrigerator call their name just loud enough to wake them from sleep, and they try to go back to sleep, but it starts telling them what it has inside for them.
Inside.
You know, yeah, exactly right. Until they have no choice but to get out of bed and go. You know, that sounds to me like the movie definitions of hypnosis. We are hypnotized by the world that we live in.
And that's really interesting to me. So what I'm putting together at the moment is that actually when people are in a problem state or a problem trance, for lack of a better word, that is a kind of directive hypnotic relationship where the programming of, you know, past experiences or parents or teachers or media or whatever it might be is operating a direct hypnotic relationship that's leading to some sort of problem. And when they come to you, it's about making a more healthy, equal, collaborative relationship to take away that directive aspect and replace it with something more nurturing and more connective.
Well, in fact, the funny thing is that nurturing thing that you're talking about is actually the client's evolving self. You know, somehow or another, just beneath the surface, my sense is that when a person is requesting a change, it's because some part of them is already engaged in the pursuit of that change. It's popped up. You know, it said, now it's time to attend to, you know, to this issue. I can't help but think that the magnificent creature that we are continually is wanting to be born and expressed through us. And sometimes its first expression, first out of the gate, is a little faltering, a little uncomfortable, sometimes might even pose in a way that could be described as symptomology. Mm-hmm. You know, and so people go, oh, I've got this thing wrong. I don't seem to be able to get myself to go into work anymore. And maybe it's because, in fact, some part of them has said, you know, it's really time for you to move on to something else. But that first expression, so they end up getting in fights with their coworkers or problems with the boss, and they show up presenting with behavioral issues.
My way of thinking about this, and I really like that idea, and that was a very big one for me when I first started connecting with that, was that symptoms are actually resources showing up in a raw state. And that they need to be, and I imagine it being like flat pack furniture that you get from the shop, and it needs to be assembled before it's useful. And if you've just got it sitting around the house in its flat pack boxes, it's annoying and gets in the way. But if you can assemble it and use it and find a place for it, all of a sudden it's valuable.
Absolutely.
And I still think that's one of the most amazing gifts of the sort of Ericksonian approach. And for anyone who's listening who maybe isn't familiar with Ericksonian hypnosis or has done some NLP but is wondering how come NLP and hypnosis are so closely connected, or why should I learn hypnosis,